Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Charles Dickens did a nice line in Hypocrites. There was Uriah Heep, forever telling anyone who would listen how humble he was. But underneath this outer cloak of humility, he was embittered, envious, and scheming. Mrs. Gamp, the inebriated midwife and nurse who cares for Martin Chuzzlewit's sick friend, is one of Dickens' great comic creations. But the woman is vicious, selfish, and incompetent, despite all her attempts to appear caring and compassionate. Perhaps the most notorious of these fictional hypocrites is Mr. Pecksniff, the self-proclaimed great architect and beacon of domestic morality. Sanctimonious, ingratiating, and patronizing, he swindles his articled pupils, enters their work for competitions under his own name, and tries to get the apparently senile Mr. Chuzzlewit and his wealth into his power. His exposure and downfall is one of the great moments in Dickens. Hypocrisy has proved a fruitful subject for playwrights and novelists. Hypocrites, the Greek word, means an actor, one who dissembles, someone who wears a mask. It's the charge that Jesus in the Gospels constantly levels against the Pharisees, so much so, in fact, that the term Pharisaic has been coined to describe insincerity masquerading as righteousness. Sadly, it is particularly associated with the religious. Hypocrisy hasn't always had a bad press. A French intellectual, always suspicious, once described hypocrisy as the tribute that vice pays to virtue. And there is a sense in which the imitation of virtue, even if it is insincere, is a sort of compliment. But the New Testament is pretty unambiguous. Hypocrisy is always morally repugnant. It is deceitful, exploitive, spiritually corrosive, and creates an immense gulf between us, our neighbor, and God. It takes various forms. First, hypocrisy is about making yourself out to be better than others. Not only are you being deceitful about your own nature, but you are libeling your neighbor. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector praying in the temple makes that point. The Pharisee rejoices loudly that he is not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. Meanwhile, the tax collector stands in a corner, simply praying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. It is he, Jesus says, not the self-important Pharisee, who goes home justified in the eyes of God. The Pharisee has failed the basic test by not recognizing his own sinfulness and need of God. The story in today's gospel has a similar theme. As Mark recounts the episode, the Pharisees are trying to work their way to heaven by scrupulous observance of the regulations about washing hands and cleaning the insides of cups. What nonsense, says Jesus. Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Lip service is no substitute for that conversion of heart, that yearning for forgiveness and grace that is the only basis for a true relationship with God. doing down others by pretending to be more virtuous than we really are is the last resort of the hypocrite. Then secondly, there is the sort of hypocrisy that tends to our personal advantage. It's a type of fraud, conspiring to deceive others into believing that we have skills, knowledge, or experience that will enable us to impress them and acquire power over them that we can then exploit to our material advantage. Often that advantage is financial. Indeed, there are some commentators in the red-top newspapers who would have us believe that the whole financial industry is built on this principle. But let's stay with Scripture. In the Acts of the Apostles, Ananias and Sapphira, a husband and wife who were members of the church in Jerusalem, sold a piece of property and gave the proceeds to the apostles for the poor. Unfortunately, they held back some of the proceeds for themselves, but wanting presumably to be up there with members of the church who had sold all their worldly possessions to support the needy, they told the apostles they had given the whole sum to the church. Hypocrisy, deceit. They were, of course, found out, and Luke, who tells the story, obviously felt that there was justice in the fact that having embraced spiritual death through their hypocrisy, they both died shockingly the same day. We've probably all come across people whom we suspect of using pretense to gain the trust of a gullible or vulnerable person and to feather their own nest. But then there's a third type of hypocrisy which differs from the others. It's still about deceit, but this is self-deceit. So successful are we in manufacturing a new persona for ourselves and passing ourselves off as, in some sense, better or more virtuous than we really are, that we come to believe our own propaganda, to be taken in by our own hypocrisy. And just as other types of hypocrisy seek to diminish or defraud others, so this type of hypocrisy diminishes and defrauds us spiritually. It attacks and undermines our relationship with God. Perhaps this is what the author of this morning's New Testament reading had in mind in the simile of the mirror. He writes, "For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like." Well, I dare say many of us would like to forget what we see in the mirror. But the writer's point is about self-delusion. We hear God's word, but we don't do it. We are given a glimpse of our human frailty, our shortcomings and our failures. But rather than turn to God for forgiveness, we prefer to go on believing in the image of ourselves that we have so carefully crafted. It's a form of self-delusion. So hypocrisy takes many forms. We would scarcely be human if we failed to acknowledge that we are all guilty of at least small acts of hypocrisy from time to time. Do we think we can get away with it? We need to hear what the psalmist has to say. "Understand, O dullest of the people, fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see?" The God who, Jesus reminded his hearers, has counted even the hairs on our heads, is not going to be deceived. We're like children who believe in their naivety that their parents don't know what they get up to. God sees all, and God will forgive all if we are honest with him. But hypocrisy, pretending to be other than we are, deluding ourselves and failing to recognize our need of God's mercy, is spiritually and morally corrosive and stalls our relationship with him. Jeremy Taylor, the 17th century Anglican divine, wrote that whoever is a hypocrite in his religion mocks God, presenting to him the outside and reserving the inward for his enemy. Without truth, honesty, and humility on our part, our relationship with God will be a poor thing. But when we turn to him in penitence, admitting our faults, being honest about who we are, he will embrace us with his mercy, and all things become possible. Amen.